For being here tonight, and beyond that, for everything that you've done throughout the year, all your faithfulness, all of your mercy, all of the things that you've done to build one another up, for the different things that have gone on Sundays and at other times as well. Just very, very happy that you could be here, and also for the wonderful music tonight with the band. Absolutely great, as always, just wonderful. Your singing as well, I want to point that out too. Absolutely great. What I would like to share with you tonight is something from the reading from Titus that Hetty read just a few minutes ago. And that passage, as you can see in the bulletin, starts out, "The grace of God has appeared." And that's one of the main themes of Christmas. You might say it is the big theme of Christmas. And as I was thinking about this passage, meditating on it, I remembered my time in Phoenix when I got started at the gym there. And one of the clergy who was a neighbor to me and was very interested in the church that we were starting and very supportive was also someone who had done quite well at the gym. He had lost, I think, he went to the gym and I think lost 40 pounds. And he was already in his 60s and entered a bodybuilding competition. And the first time out, won. I mean, that's pretty good.
How many people were in it?
I don't know. But, you know, in the 60s category, there's fewer than in the 30-year-old category. Nonetheless, he took it. And not the first time he did that either. And he knew I was kind of interested in this stuff, and I had been working out at home for a long time in Pennsylvania. And then when we moved to Arizona, I got to know him. And he said, "Let me take you to the gym I go to." And so for 5 days in a row, he took me to the gym and said, "This is how I do it here. This is what I do." So that was very, very helpful. Another thing that was very helpful as he introduced me to the people he knew there. And these were people who knew him because he had won a bodybuilding competition. I mean, he just wasn't some guy who went in, you know, did a few barbell curls and left. People knew him. And so some of these people that he introduced me to were interested in what I was doing. And They asked me about it from time to time. Some of those members of that gym would just come up to me and said, "I want to give you some money for your church." And, you know, here. I said, okay, great. Good. And we just got on well. Very few of those people who were interested in what I was doing and even gave money were not interested in following Jesus. They just didn't want to go that far. And it wasn't because they were particularly immoral or anything like that at all. They just had yet to receive the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that we gain the ability to follow Jesus. It is by the grace of God that we gain the ability to do the things that Jesus asks us to do. And we talk about that quite a bit, and that is the case. So what I want to do is just bring out a couple of items tonight that will help us grab hold of that a little more deeply, because that is the reason and the purpose for which Jesus came. It is the reason for which Jesus emptied himself and became like us so that we could become like him. That's, in other words, that's what's going on. And we can find ways to get into that. So what we have is this, is God offering that kind of grace to us. The first Christmas at the birth of Jesus, the grace of God appeared to the world. And so Jesus becomes one of us. We become like him. The process of becoming like Jesus is the grace of God working in us and then through us. What God does within our hearts, God will also do through us in the world. A simple way of remembering is this. What God wants to do through you, God will first do to you. And that's what we want. That's what we want. And that's what Jesus was able to bring into the world with us. Now, the grace of God working in us is something, as you know, we cannot do it by ourselves. Jesus came to us to do in us all these things that we cannot do by ourselves. And just to be clear, I know we've mentioned it before, but just to be clear, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot look in the mirror, make New Year's resolutions, look out over our lives and think, all right, I'm going to change. Now you can make some changes, but they will not be the kinds of changes that are moving us to consider what our lives are like. And so often when we consider what our lives are like and think, we start thinking, I wished I could be different. We're not in our own power able to become different, except by the grace of God. It's by taking in the grace of God that that happens. To be perhaps a little more specific, we cannot stop ourselves from sinning. Have you ever noticed that? Thank you, some of you who admitted that now by saying yes with shaking your head. Yes, that's right. We just cannot stop sinning on our own. Now, we might be able to change some habits, and those are kind of the outer things. So, for example, if you have ever taken up a habit, whatever it might be, weight loss, exercise, daily reading of some sort or another, walking, whatever it is, and you find if you do this for 30 days, you'll probably be able to sustain it for some time, and maybe you've been able to do that. And what I want to suggest to you is keep doing that, but name it for what it is. It never changed your heart. Because within our hearts, things don't go always the way we want them to go. And even below that, what can go on in our hearts is that things do go in our hearts the way we want them to go. So if you're out for a daily walk and you have a little trouble with one of your neighbors and you're walking past your neighbor's house, what's going on in your heart that you probably want to go on in your heart is, and if you're a praying person, which I know you are, is, God, if you wouldn't mind getting that person, that would be great. That's probably what your heart is saying. Now, you don't have to admit that tonight. However, I would guess that's probably what's happening. And that is impossible to change except for the grace of God. It takes the grace of God to change that kind of dynamic within our heart. Let me give you an even more, shall we say, rich example. Over the years here, I've had people come up to me and say this or that about the sermon, either right after church or send an email or you know, later down the road saying, when you said this, I was thinking this or that or whatever it may be. There's only one topic where I've had people come up to me and say, I am not going to do that. I'm real tempted to see if any of you can guess what it is. Give you a 10-second window. Forgive. I've had people of this church come to me after a sermon on forgiveness and say, I will not forgive. You can fill in the blank, whatever it was. Because it takes the grace of God to do that. We can't do it on our own. I understand that completely. I have those same feelings. along those same lines. There's things I cannot on my own forgive. It takes the grace of God to do it. And what we're saying tonight is that the grace of God has appeared. And the things we cannot do on our own, God will give us by grace. We can receive that power from Jesus to stop sinning like that. All of this because that's the decision and the action of God that God first decided to do and then first acted upon before we did anything like that along those lines. Because the love of God for us is absolutely unconditional. So if somebody comes up to me after church one day and says, "You know that sermon you just gave on forgiveness? I will not forgive." God still loves that person. The grace of God is available for that person. God is extending grace to that person. And just because at one point or another you say anything on any topic that Jesus says and you want Jesus to know, I'm not going to do that, Jesus still loves you and is ready to pour grace into the depth of your heart. Grace is sometimes referred to as God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is not God's riches at our expense. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. What God wants us to have, Jesus makes possible, because we just can't. The mercy, the life, the wholeness, and the love that we cannot make on our own, God freely provides. Because of what Jesus has done is perfect in every way, we receive the love of God without conditions of any kind, at any time, in any way. That's the way God is with us. Always, just always. And some of us have difficulty accepting that. We think, well, I've made mistakes in my life. I've done things wrong. People have told me things about myself, and I think they might be true. And I don't see how God could love me like that. I understand that completely. Absolutely, completely. Because it takes the grace of God to see how much God loves you. If you have trouble thinking God loves you, then tonight, what I want to encourage you to do is just say, "Lord, pour your grace into the depth of my soul." Or to quote a Christmas carol, "Be born in me again." That's what happened that first Christmas day, and that's what keeps happening every day. As you see more of Jesus that way, you become more like Jesus, which in turn does something through us. If you receive the grace of God will flow through you. If you receive the grace of God will flow through you to touch other people. God will use you to touch others who are looking for the grace of God. And I don't think that means that you convince them by whatever clever argument that you might have, which probably is a very clever argument, but will not carry the grace of God. It is deep calling to deep. It is your heart being transformed by Jesus that touches another heart that Jesus has been preparing. It is you coming into the flow of what Jesus is already doing in somebody else's life, already knocking on their door, already starting to draw them in, and then you come into their life as well, and that magnifies the picture. Because there's grace transforming you, it encourages the other person to be transformed by grace as well. Or as Titus says, in this section, the grace of God will make you zealous for good works. Good works are the things that God is doing, you know, around you, through you, in you. Makes you zealous for God to come in and transform you more. Makes you zealous for God to use you to help transform other people. The grace of God will make you able to do all of that. Taking in the presence of God does more than make you a prayerful person, although it will make you that, which is a beautiful, great thing. It equips you also to do what Jesus does. It equips you to follow Jesus wherever Jesus goes. It equips you to allow Jesus to transform you day in and day out, so that if you were able to see who you are a month from now, you would see things in you that are not the same as they are today, because you're becoming more like Jesus because of the grace of God. And then we keep going and going and going. So my encouragement to you tonight is this. Receive more of the grace of God. Let go. This is how you do it. This is how you receive more of the grace of God. Let go of what you don't want Jesus to see in your life. And whatever just came to your mind, let go of that. And remember, probably can't do that on your own. So you would need to say, Jesus, give me your grace to let go of what I'm trying to hide from you. And then take hold of what Jesus is giving you in his place. That's what it is to follow more closely the grace of God. That's what it is for God to be doing good works all over the place. That's what it is for God to lift you up and make you new and pour his love and mercy and life into you, to tell you that you are his child and that nothing will separate you from him, not anything at all. That's where we experience that and know it and walk in it. And that's where we start seeing the good works to which God is calling us. So the final question I have for you tonight is this. Which good works is God calling you into? And as that becomes clear, what you will most likely see is that's the thing that God's been doing within you all along. Whatever that may be. Now that may not be clear tonight, and it may not be clear tomorrow, but as you keep following Jesus and asking him to do these things, it will become clearer and clearer all the time. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come after us, looking for us, seeking to pour your Holy Spirit into us and your grace. And we ask that tonight we would be able to receive your grace so that nothing in our lives would be hidden from you, and all the grace you desire for our lives would be poured into us day in and day out.